There's a book called Heaven Is For Real. Fact is, Kirk, bring mine in here, would you please? You're a good job. Good job. It's about a four-year-old boy who died and went to heaven. And throughout the book, you can find this at Walmart or you can buy it online.
A must read.
One of the things that he didn't know that he had two sisters. In fact, is the mother didn't know the sex of the baby that she had miscarried. And when he was in heaven for 3 minutes. It's hard to believe all this happened in 3 minutes, but heaven is a unique place. And he comes back and he's talking about his sister, and they thought he was talking about Cassie, his older sister. He was talking about his miscarried sister that he saw in heaven. And his mom said something very interesting, and I'm just going to whet your appetite. His mom looked at him and said, "Well, what's her name?" And he looked at her and he said, "You and Daddy never gave her a name," she told me. And they didn't. But she said, "I want you to know that the Father has adopted her." And his mom says, "Jesus?" "No," he said, "Jesus, Daddy." And so it's an amazing, amazing, amazing book. And I sat down Friday and I couldn't put it down. I just read the whole thing Friday afternoon. And if you have doubts about heaven, you won't when you're done.
Say the name again.
Heaven is for real.
By who?
By Todd Burpo. He's a pastor in Nebraska. I saw it at Walmart. You can get it online. If somebody said it was quite a bit cheaper if you order it online, but I think Walmart is $13.
You can also order it in my store.
Another commercial. Talk to Marnie. It's worth the reading. It's worth the reading. It's absolutely amazing. Anyway, I'm going to give you a little background of this book of the pastor. These things happened to this man, and I'm going to be talking about when we go through the fire, a different fire than what we've been talking about. This man was playing baseball, broke his leg. During the time he was recuperating from his broken leg, he got kidney stones. From the time he was recuperating from the kidney stones, he got cancer. Through this whole process, he has a four-year-old child who is near death. How do you handle that? Or if you have sickness, death, divorce, runaway children, financial problems, how are you going to handle that? How many realize Christians are real living people? I surely wasn't prepared for the time my folks were killed. And it's amazing the battle that you have between your emotions and the reality that you know about God. One thing that has always puzzled me, I'm going to say it again because I know you guys got it all together, is why Christians, when they go through hard times, usually at times turn back to Satan. And I started thinking this week, and I started just building on relationships, and then yesterday morning after prayer, everything just took a turn, and maybe this is just specifically for somebody. Bob said something about new, and I really believe we have to have a new attitude and a new mindset and a new focus and a new looking at things and realizing that, wow, Everything you go through is not an attack of Satan, but sometimes it is. And whether I know the difference or not, why would I turn back to my old life of sin instead of walking through with God? If Satan isn't good enough for me in the good times, why is he all of a sudden the hero in the bad times? And so I started thinking. Now, just let me bounce some things off, and you can think with me. I was thinking about our relationship with God. I was thinking about love and freedom and commitment and patience and trust and respect and acceptance and security and life and heaven. It's not a bad side to be on, is it? Then I was thinking about all the benefits that Satan has to offer. Isn't that Psalms 103? You know, rejoice in Satan and think of all his benefits? Not quite. Not quite. Relationship used by Satan. Bondage, deception, hate, lies, anger, fear, insecurity, death and hell. What's there you want? I mean, as we look at this, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. I hear people saying, well, God didn't do this for me, so I'm just going to forget about him. Really? Well, God let me down here, so I'm going to just let it go. I'm going to go do my thing. Really? What if your thing that you're doing when you walk away from God causes you to have a massive heart attack, and before you know it, you're in hell? Really? Is the things that Satan has to offer and what he wants to give and what he wants to do, even though I may be hurting and even though I'm going through an attack and even though things aren't working out and even though things are bad, dude, is that the better deal? Well, somebody hurts my feelings, I think I'm going to walk away from God. Really? You're going to let somebody else lead you to hell? I love the way you're shouting. I got a spiritual word that's not in the Bible. We got to get tough. We got to be spiritually tough. We have to be spiritually touched. And whether or not I have to go through this whole thing alone, nobody goes with me. Nobody walks it out with me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares if I fall. I got to do it. I got to do it. It's not a game. And we begin to live our lives with a different mindset. I'm not going to ask you to do this, but when you get home today, take a look in the mirror at your back. How many whips, stripes do you have? This is going to sound weird, but how many times you've been stoned? I don't mean the way we do it now. Or how many of you are stoned today? No, I didn't. But how many of you have had stones thrown at you? I mean, how many times have we been beat up? You know, most of the things we go through are a lot of verbal attacks, rejection, hurts that people say. Sometimes mentally, Satan wants to depress us. Satan wants to rob us. He comes to do what? Okay. But I want to kind of prepare you. Quarter's over. I kind of want to prepare you for what may come.
Yes, Lord.
Glad you're back, buddy. We'll deal with the other issues later. You got that sign, Kirk? I want to prepare you. How many are determined, really determined, to get caught up in the spiritual fire and glory of God? You're just not going to be held back. Do you think Satan is cheering you on? And so we have to make a choice. I read this morning from someplace, I think it might have been Sparkling Gems or one of my devotional books, that if Satan controls one small part of your mind, he doesn't stop there. He's not satisfied till he has it all. If Satan can control one small part of your mindset, your thought process, and that thought process keeps going and going and going because he has hold of that emotional part of your life, it's not going to be long before he's going to kick the door down and keep on controlling you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, nobody gets up and makes up their mind, I'm just going to go out and backslide today, usually. I don't love God anymore. I'm just going to go do my thing. What are you thinking?
That's what I'm talking about Wednesday night.
Well, I won't go any deeper in that. You can have the rest. Do you ever, nobody, I don't know anybody that just woke up from a sound sleep and got up in the morning and said, well, I'm just going to go backslide. Satan gets one little area, starts working on it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We okay? How many have ever been an alcoholic? How many were ever a drug addict? How many realize that being an alcoholic didn't start with the first beer you drank? One beer didn't make you an alcoholic. I shouldn't say it started with the first beer you drank. But it kept on going, 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 going. One little bad apple can destroy what? The whole bunch. I want you to look at this because I really want to show you what God's giving us. And the reason, one of the reasons I'm talking about this is that Satan not only wants to shut down our worship team, he wants to shut down you from worshiping. He's done that in so many churches. When the focus went from worship to the preacher, the church died. You say, Pastor, no. Look at where our churches have gone from the time that we went from worship to a song service. Well, I want to sing grandma's favorite song. That's not about grandma's favorite song. It's not about pastor's favorite song. It's about what does God want to hear from us? What does one of God want to see in our lives? And when we come to a place that we decide that we're just going to come in here and sit, God will say that's fine. But you're not stepping into where I want you to be. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
And I'm not telling you what song to sing. I'm just saying it's not about what I want to hear in this place or any church. It's about what God wants. How many agree with that?
Amen.
It's really true. I'm not picking on anything. Listen to this, verse 3 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. It wouldn't hurt you folks and us folks a little at all to go home and read 1 Peter. We like 2 Peter. I love 2 Peter. I love chapter 1 of 2 Peter. But this week I got into 1 Peter a little bit, and boy, this is some powerful stuff. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this part, maybe we don't like. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We have a choice to make. It's a very interesting choice. That choice is, do I want everything now that satisfies the flesh, or do I want everything later that satisfies the spirit? You say, well, we can have that now. We can have some of that now. We can have some of that spiritual experience. But can you imagine? As I was reading the book, I was thinking, this little twerp, he went to heaven? God, don't you realize I've been doing this for how many years? I haven't been there. But what he saw was amazing. And so, if you're living for the here and now, enjoy it all, because it's all you got. If you're looking at your life and saying, I want this and I want that and I want something else and I don't want God, then go for it. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? It's the pay for it now or pay for it later philosophy. Or if you have chosen to walk with God, if you have chosen that no matter what, I'm going to live this life. Whatever comes, if I have to live alone, the Bible says, though none go with me, yet I'll do what? I'll follow. Is that true? It's only a reality when Christ is absolutely the adoration of our life. It's fun to have family. It's fun to have grandkids. It's fun to do the things with children. It's fun to live. Unless you're trapped up on Summit Hill. But life is enjoyable. But yet, the best is not yet. And here's what Peter says. And I just jot down five quick things. He said, number one, that I wrote down, he says he's given us a living hope. He's giving us a living hope, a living expectation, a living reality, not wishful thinking. It's not that I get up every morning and I hope I go to heaven or I hope this happens and I'm wishful thinking about it. God, through his Son, has given us a living hope based on him who cannot lie and a reality. Let me ask you something. When you were in the world, what did Satan promise you? Can't think, can we? He never come to you and say, hey, I love you. He can't say those words. He'll come to say, hey, I want to use you. Number two, he says he's giving us an incorruptible inheritance. An incorruptible inheritance. Lay up your treasure where? Where moth and rust and the thief? We know that, don't we? Lay up your inheritance in heaven. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to be tarnished. It's not going to be something that you get up there and say, whoops, I guess I got here late. The inheritance of eternal life is enough to last us for eternity. But there's more. When God looks at us and says through Paul, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor entered the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he's revealing them to us through his Spirit. Almost daily we can start thinking of something else that's lying ahead of us here and up in heaven. Beyond the power of change and decay, an incorruptible inheritance. Number three, kind of interesting. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. There's something here I don't know if I've ever preached, but I'm just starting to see it. And Kirk will have it all figured out by tomorrow. But there's something here that just hit me. It's not us struggling to remain a Christian. You say, whoa, is there some heretic here? No. It's not me just painfully holding on to this Christian experience and painfully, I got to get up and read my Bible. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do something else. That's not it. I've been that way. My salvation is kept by the power of God through faith. You say, well, boy, are you going to extreme eternal security? Not at all. I'm just going to, there is security. We think if we sneeze backwards, we'd probably choke. But, but if we sneeze backwards, we're going to lose our salvation. If we have a bad thought, oh man, God's going to get me. He's going to squish me like a bug. If he wanted to squish you like a bug, you'd all be dead. My salvation, when I devote my life to him, it's not about me just holding on with white knuckle. It's coming to a place where he's keeping me through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we want to walk in the Spirit. Not only do we see the gifts and the power and the anointing, but we also see the security. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Is there anything there that touches you? If not, I can leave. Power of God through faith. Now here's one, just hold on to your chairs. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Friends, look at me. It's not time to fold your tent. You say, what's that mean? That means if you're camping and you're leaving and you just fold your tent. You camping in the Black Hills? Okay. They're going to fold their tent sometime. They're going to unfold it sometime too, but they're going to fold that tent back up. How many of us rejoice greatly when Satan's challenging us? When you get through the tears, are you still rejoicing? When you get through the anger, are you rejoicing? This gentleman here, I'm not going to tell you the whole book. This gentleman here, when his son was dying, went out and told God, why are you going to take my child? Why are you doing this? You've done this and you've done that, and God can handle it. He doesn't fall off his throne. He doesn't fall off his throne. There's a human element that we can't deny in our spiritual walk. Never thought I'd ever say that. Your walk with God cannot just be faith or just be the Word. There is a feeling that we have. There's an emotional part of this. But the thing that we have to learn is that our faith needs to override our emotions. Because I haven't met anyone who gets a phone call and says, well, your son was killed in a car accident. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Come on, we don't do that, do we? Because at that very moment, it seems like somebody pulled a plug and things drain out. We understand. And that doesn't mean we failed God. It doesn't mean we don't have faith. It means we're hurt. It means we cry. It means there's a pain and an ache. But yet above all this, when we're going through things, underneath it all is the joy of the Lord that is my strength that causes me to rejoice. Amen. And Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, that for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Count it all joy when you overcome temptation. Do you realize when temptation comes, if you've already made up your mind that you're not going to be lured in and reeled in by Satan, you're an overcomer. You walk through that. You don't give it, sure, you might give it a thought because it's not temptation if you didn't think about it. Jesus had to think about what Satan was saying because he knew if some of these things would happen, he'd never have to go to the cross. But he didn't do it. The sin is not in the temptation. Because Jesus was all points tempted like we, yet without sin. So we go through things. Are you rejoicing? With joy inexpressible and full of glory? Are we getting through it? This is just between you and me and not Kirk, okay? If every week when we went through something, we'd rejoice, he stood up there, we wouldn't even need him. Do you know why? We still want him because you folks would be ahead of him in rejoicing. You'd come in here and say, man, praise God, hallelujah. Satan tried to do this to me, but God, you're faithful, you're abundant in your mercy, your grace is forever, your truth endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think so here. I don't know who it was here, but I haven't got over that one, the cow looking at the new gate. I get that feeling right now and say, Pastor, what have you been smoking? It's true, friends. When we come to the place that we're not so attached mentally to the world and we become attached spiritually and mentally to Christ, rejoice when you're suffering these flaming temptations. These people were actually being burned on the stake. The people in 1 Peter, they were impaling them on the stake and lighting them, and Nero's yard was lit at night. Painful? Kind of. Did you ever have a sliver? If you ever had a sliver, think of one of these fondue things going. Yeah, I won't tell you where they go. Greatly rejoice. Verse number 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes though it is tested by fire. They were literally being tested by fire. They were being burned. May be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus. What's the revelation of Jesus? The coming of Christ. Isn't that amazing? These people who were dying were being accepted in the kingdom. Christ was honoring them just like he did Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, when they got to heaven, there was a revelation of Christ. They saw Jesus. You know something? It didn't matter anymore. 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you may partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he's glorified. Blessed are us. Blessed we are. Let me just tell you something. Some of you get some bad things on your emails or your Facebook. Anybody ever been hurt when somebody said something on Facebook? Besides Ange? You know something? Just write back on there, thank you. This is fulfilling 1 Peter 4 in my life. It's happening. Your faith tested by fire. Now look at me. Your faith is going to be tested on both parts. Your faith will be proved by God, and your faith will be tested by Satan. Don't ever forget that. God will put something in your heart to go talk to somebody, to go minister to somebody, to go someplace, to do something. And you're going to say, oh, God, I don't know. Hi, Ange. And you'll do it, and you just take that next step, that next leap of faith. And Satan will say, oh, you dummy, you can't do that. They're going to slam the door in your face. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to be mad at you the rest of your life. You're going to regret it. No. Some people I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to do anything that's going to get Satan mad. He's already mad. You don't have to do anything. He's already ready to kill you. God's keeping us alive. And so your faith, though tested by fire. I remember as a little kid, it's a long time ago. I said it before Kirk did. We had a church baptismal service at Sandy Beach in Rainy Lake. And before I knew it, I was drowning. It wasn't because the pastor held me under. I was just swimming. I was 6 years old, maybe. And I don't remember anything happening except feeling a hand reach out and grab me. My mom had seen my head bobbing out in the middle of the water and ran in and grabbed me and pulled me back. What did I do? I went right back in the water. Didn't know it then, but if I wouldn't have, I mean, never gone back in the water. When things get tough, when the attack or the temptation or whatever it is comes, keep doing what God told you to do. Or if Satan figures out he can shut you down by doing this or saying this or have this happen, he'll do it. I don't know when Christ is coming. I don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. I know it is. And he never told me to fold my tent. Paul said something that was so amazing, and when I read it, it just blows my mind. He said, I'm going to be faithful unless I come to my last and find myself to be a castaway. Or I just fall short at the end of my life. I don't think he's talking about losing his salvation. I think he's talking about not fulfilling everything God had for him. I put it this way, don't die with your music in you. You got a lot of stuff in here. Get it out. Don't let Satan control what you're going to allow God to do in your life. I understand that there's attacks. I understand that things happen. I understand that. Just be faithful to God. Take your punches that you're going to be thrown at. When I was boxing, I didn't learn how to duck. And my mom said, you're not fighting those golden gloves. I didn't care how many times I got hit. I was just Rocky 3 or 4. Just went in there and smacked somebody until they quit. Keep on doing what God tells you, no matter what. Keep praying for your children, though they come home every day with a runny nose or sore throat. Keep ministering. Keep talking. Don't give Satan that little place that Stan's going to talk about. I won't go into it. In your brain. Keep on.